imagine a wave as tall as the ConocoPhillips building in downtown Anchorage. It happened just 3 years ago in southeast Alaska. A new scientific paper makes the case that climate change could increase the likelihood of these events. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has the story of what a ragtag crew of scientists learned when they descended on a remote fjord where the tsunami happened.
3 years ago, Brentwood Higman heard about a tsunami set off by a landslide. It was so far away from civilization that it was only detected by Columbia University scientists using earthquake monitors. Higman lives with his family in a yurt in Seldovia, off the road system near Homer. He has a PhD in geology, and he's fascinated by tsunamis in the landscape of southeast Alaska. So he started scheming about how he could go take a look.
Sort of dirtbag style, like find, you know, $3,000-$4,000, enough, which, you know, logistics are expensive there, but that'd be enough to get a plane out there, drop me off with my pack raft, go paddle around, dig holes, collect some sand and gravel, and then, you know, I'd figure out what to do next at that point.
The tsunami happened in a place called Tanfjord. The nearest town is Yakutat, population 600, about 60 miles away. And Yakutat itself is way out there. Juneau is another 200 miles to the southeast. Higman figured he should call the two Columbia scientists who first noticed the tsunami. It turned out they were organizing their own expedition and wanted help with logistics from Higman, who's adventured all over Alaska with his wife, author Erin McKittrick. With money from the National Science Foundation, a team of scientists converged on the fjord 2 summers ago. One of them was Peter Heusler, an Anchorage geologist who motored across the Gulf of Alaska on the Alaskan Gyre, a fishing boat-turned-research vessel.
So it's about a 50-foot converted seiner.
When Heusler got to the fjord, he could see the aftermath of the tsunami. It happened after a gigantic landslide crashed into the water at the toe of the Tyndall Glacier. It sloshed as high as 600 feet above sea level. Heusler says the first thing he noticed is what's called a trim line.
All of the forest that you would normally expect to find up on the mountainside is gone. It's just wiped clean. You're coming in and it's like, I mean, it's just clear there were giant waves on each side of the bay. You definitely think, boy, I'm glad I wasn't here when this was happening.
Some of the scientists looked at the landslide deposits left on shore. One chunk was so big they named it Edgar. Others looked at the path of the tsunami. Heusler's research focused on the landslide remnants that ended up underwater, looking at their size and characteristics. From the boat, he was working to map the ocean floor using technology called multi-beam bathymetry.
It's really neat because the topography on the ocean bottom just reveals itself as you go along so clearly. I mean, you could see, oh, here you're in flat fjord bottom. Here's this blocky stuff that clearly looks like landslide debris.
The goal was to understand the specifics of the landslide and wave to give scientists a better sense of how this kind of event happens. One of the paper's take-home messages is that global warming will make them more likely, since retreating glaciers can leave behind unstable slopes. In Alaska, scientists are thinking about how they should apply the paper's findings to management of public land and water. For Mike Loso, a geologist with Wrangell-St. Elias National Park who worked on the study, the issue is personal. He explains how by talking about Hoof Hill, the spot in the fjord where the water reached its highest point during the wave.
I spent my honeymoon with my wife on Hoof Hill, based out of sea kayaks.
Loso doesn't think it's appropriate to close places like the fjord where the tsunami happened, or other areas where scientists think that there could be risks of similar events, like in Glacier Bay National Park, which is popular with cruise ships. Scientists might not ever understand this type of tsunami well enough to issue warnings or to predict them, and they're not very likely to occur in places where there are people, Loso says. But he does think managers could give out more information about the risks of landslides and tsunamis, even if they're small.
An important role of the Park Service is to allow people to take those risks if they choose to, but we want to make sure they're well informed. So the better we understand these things, the better we can convey those hazards to the public. And let them make good decisions, you know, whatever a good decision is for them.
The study is published in the journal Scientific Reports. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.